Welcome to the Occult London podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, and Kabbalah, as well as many other topics. In this second series, we are exploring the symbolism and mysteries of the tarot trumps in relation to the Western mystery tradition. Each episode, we'll be looking at different tarot cards. These are meant to be short introductions, so will not be an exhaustive examination of them, but rather a taster to get you started and thinking about it. If you like the podcast, please go to our website, which is www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. Hope you enjoy it. So in this episode, we are discussing the Lover's card, which is the 17th path on the Tree of Life, the path of Zayin. As usual, we are going to go through the Greer correspondences to begin with, which are as follows. So the letter of the path is obviously Zayin, which means sword. The name of God is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is the Tetragrammaton. Astrological correspondences are Gemini, the twins. Tarot correspondences, obviously, is the Lover's card. Esoteric title is Children of the Voice Divine, Oracles of the Mighty Gods. It's always worth doing a bit of meditation on the esoteric titles, because they have a lot of wisdom that is worth looking into. The path text from the Sefer Yetzirah is as follows. The 17th path is the disposing intelligence, which provides faith to the righteous, and they are clothed with the Holy Spirit by it. And it is called the foundation of excellence in the state of higher things. The mythological principle is love between divine and human. The experiences of the path are symbols of duality and unity, imagery relating to sexual love, contact with spirits, intuitive and oracular messages, and images of the abyss. Entities of the path are androgynies and other dual beings, and any kind of wide range of spirits. The magical image is an arch of bright orange with the letter Zayin in brilliant white on its keystone. And the door in the arch bears the image of the trump. The colours in Atzluth is orange, in Bria is pale mauve. Yetzirah is the colour of new yellow leather, which sounds nice. And Zaya is reddish grey, tinned with mauve. In terms of the Kabbalistic symbolism, we'll go through this quickly. So the Lover's card connects the sphere of Bina, which is the mother of form, with Tipperet, the sun, and the centre of the Tree of Life. From a Kabbalistic perspective, this path is drawing down the powers of form represented in Bina into the light of the conscious mind in Tipperet. So it's therefore can be seen as a path of duality in the sense that its mother is the mother of duality and separation. So Bina obviously representing the first death of the energy. And when it arrives in the sphere of the child, obviously the king and the sacrifice god. The Lover's card and the tarot trump is the first place also in the cards where we see two figures on the card. This is obviously designed to represent the kind of dual nature within ourselves, but also the separation from that kind of higher self, as Schick and Tabitha Cicero mention when they say the following. This is the path where the descending divine force begins, creation through division. For the student ascending this path, a direct reversal of this process takes place. The separateness of the individual is dissolved into the unified whole of the divine. And that's from Schick and Sandra Cicero, A Garden of Pomegranates. We move on to the Hebrew letter now. So as we've seen from our correspondences above, the letter for this path is Zayin, or sword. And this our letter actually resembles a sword if you have a look at it. As we can see from legends, the swords are, you know, very much a tool for cutting, but also defending and killing your enemies. And the sword separates limb from limb, but is also used in, you know, ceremonies to bestow honours onto people. So things like knighthoods and also initiation ceremonies. The sword is also relevant in the story of the Garden of Eden, as banishing Adam and Eve from the garden And again, obviously, that shows some of what we've been talking about before in terms of severing of higher and lower selves at one level on the return path back up the tree. It also could represent a kind of unification and a sword of healing, or also a sword of trial. So, for instance, in the Arthurian myths, there is a particular tale, I believe it's Lancelot, but please correct me if I'm wrong, where he has to cross a sword bridge which cuts away his armour in order to get to this prize, which is like the Grail on the other side. So from that perspective, the sword is not necessarily a negative thing, but it could also be a kind of cutting and cleansing action to enable us to kind of get that real sense of enlightenment on the other side. Gareth Knight points this out quite well when he said the following: there must be a separation between the part of the self that stays in heaven and the part that descends into manifestation. This separation is part of the vision of sorrow of Bina. The heavenly twins, though similar and united by relationship and love, are separate beings. Without separation, there could be no demonstration of love. And that is from A Practical Guide to Kabbalistic Symbolism, which is one of my favourite texts and one I've studied many times over the years. It can be quite hard going, so there are definitely other books out there which are slightly easier, but if you stick with it, there are quite a few gems in the book which can really give you some great insights. The sword in the context of the card can also be attributed to the idea of sort of releasing negative emotions and patterns. So we often find that a thing must be severed before we can move on and grow as human beings. However, it's only through this kind of pain and suffering that we kind of find that knowledge to make that cut in the first place. So another point from the kind of legends of King Arthur is the idea that the scabbard is actually meant to be more valuable than sword. And Gareth Knight mentions this when he says the following: the sword may be considered to be the power of polarity on all its levels. Excalibur is a case in point where this obviously applies, and its scabbard, which Merlin said was worth more than the sword itself, and which was stolen by the sorceress Morgan le Fay, represents the knowledge of the application of this power. So, essentially what he's saying is the pain and separation, we learn how to handle the sword, and then we are given the scabbard back, but also the chance to, you know, reunite with our higher self, or what some may call our kind of holy guardian angel. And that's particularly relevant in the context of the Abramelin operation, where, you know, one inflames oneself with prayer. So the idea being to kind of fall in love with your angel to kind of build up that relationship. Moving on to kind of mythology, gods and goddesses. So as we can see, the astrological sign for the card is Gemini, and the card is filled with symbolism of the twins and duality and the best goddesses and goddesses to get in touch with, the energies on this path. So really good ways of getting in touch with this energy would be, you know, looking at mythology and any particular figures that would be kind of twins or brothers or sisters would be kind of good ideas of that. Or also, obviously, you know, mythological lovers. So, for instance, Romeo and Juliet, Tristan and Isolde, Castor and Pollux. Castor and Pollux, actually, so they were kind of like a Roman version of the Greek Polydeuces. So their mother was Leda, but they had sort of different fathers. So Castor was the mortal son of Tyndareus, who was the king of Sparta, and also Pollux was the divine son of Zeus, who seduced Leda in the guise of a swan. So with that particular legend, you can also see this aspects of the divine and the non-divine connecting together, which again fits very well with the concepts we were talking about earlier in terms of the lover's card being a representation of our relationship with our spiritual self and also our holy guardian angel. Another one from more the sort of Sanskrit is the Ashvins or Ashvini Kumaras in Hindi mythology. So they're like two Vedic gods of medicine who are described as being divine horsemen in the Rig Vedas. And also Freya and Frey, who are twins of the sea god Njord. And they're both the Vanor gods and given to the Azir as peace treaties during the war. So Freya is the goddess of love, beauty and wealth. And she's rumoured to cry tears of gold. And she's also the one who has a beautiful necklace called the Brisingamen, which is made by the dwarves. And her brother Frey is also the god of fertility. So he has the power of kind of growing things and is also close friends with the elves. So those are another kind of archetype or mythology that you can work with to connect with this power of this card. So that concludes our episode tonight. Hope everyone has enjoyed it. As I said, these are kind of introductory sessions just to talk about some of the deeper aspects of the Trump symbolism of the tarot cards. There's lots of other information you can look up yourselves, but I hope you found this useful. So thanks very much for joining us this week on the Occult London podcast. And as I said before, please make sure to visit our website, which is www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. Hope you have a great evening. Thank you.